you can receive a free copy of Ken Sample's book, Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men, A Rational Christian Look at UFOs and Extraterrestrials. Just go to reasons.org, click the Issues Etc. logo, fill out the form, and mention that you heard about Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men on Issues Etc. This special radio offer for Issues Etc. listeners lasts through December 30th. Reasons.org, and get Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men, A Rational Christian Look at UFOs and Extraterrestrials, for free. One thing I have noticed is that it's moved from the realm of science fiction, where scientists were, they were interested, maybe casually interested, but not professionally interested, to the realm of science. It used to be the thing of fiction, that life on other worlds, intelligent life on other worlds, even intelligent life that might visit us or we might visit them, was the stuff of science fiction. And hard science said, well, that's interesting. We might read the books in our spare time, but there's not a lot of fruit in looking for that intelligent life elsewhere. But now, so much of the cutting-edge science, it seems to be geared directly or indirectly toward the possibility of finding worlds with life on them, not just life, but intelligent life. And I'm not just talking about projects like SETI, where it's a bit of a well-funded fringe group that's listening for alien signals, but they're very well-funded astronomical endeavors to try and find Earth-like worlds. You've heard that term, haven't you? Earth-like worlds where life might exist. The search for life. They search for things like water on Mars. Why? Because we want to know whether or not life either does or, more likely, at some time did exist on that planet. I just saw a post from somebody saying, well, here's a moon of one of the outer planets, and there's a possibility, a remote possibility, there might be life there. Maybe not intelligent, but life nonetheless. What's driving all of this look for life? And if we did find life, would that disprove religion and Christianity in particular? Ken Samples is our guest for the last half hour of Issues Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon. He's senior research scholar for Reasons to Believe in Pasadena, California, and author of several books, including Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men, A Rational Christian Look at UFOs and Extraterrestrials. Ken, welcome back.
Hi, Todd.
Is it possible that part of the enthusiasm to find life elsewhere other than Earth is, among the sciences now, is driven by kind of an atheistic enthusiasm for disproving religion?
Well, I certainly think it is motivated by a naturalistic worldview. And Todd, what's really interesting is that about 30 or 40 years ago, Carl Sagan, famous astronomer, did the Cosmos series. He said we should find life all over the place because evolution is a naturalistic evolution is a fact. It should be ubiquitous. The problem in the last 30, 40 years, now other questions have been raised. One scientist wrote a book entitled, Where is Everybody? And then a book several years ago was written by two scientists, Rare Earth. So it's interesting that while you have SETI going strong, and you have lots of people interested in this question in the scientific community, there is also the other side, and that is that it appears that life is very precious, that there is only very small areas within our own galaxy, our own solar system, that are habitable to allow for advanced life. So yes, their worldview motivates them, I think, in many ways, but they've also had pushback in terms of not being able to find just what they're looking for.
So what you're saying there is that the best of current scientific thinking, at least they're kind of saddled with a view that life should be everywhere. We should be able to find it everywhere, but we're not.
That's exactly right. I mean, if evolution is that successful and functioning, and if there are plenty of Earth-like sites out in the galaxies and in the universe, we should see it everywhere, and we don't. Now, obviously, it's a very large universe, and there is the observable universe, what we can see, and the universe is very large. But at least so far, they've discovered that things like fine-tuning and the habitability of life on this planet is, well, that book is entitled Rare Earth. And in fact, there are some who think that it may be unique after all. So that they definitely have they have some pushback on their worldview.
So how do those committed to an evolutionary worldview, not just a worldview that encompasses this world, but all worlds, how do they explain the absence of evidence for life elsewhere?
Well, it's a great question, and this very provocative book entitled Where Is Everybody? Given our presuppositions and given our belief that life is purely naturalistic and that we live in a very large universe, we should see it all over the place. I think what's really interesting is I was watching a series on the Apollo astronauts who landed on the moon, and almost to a man, they said, you know, when we landed there, I had to come all the way to the moon to look over my shoulder and see the Earth was just teeming with life. So I think their response would probably be, we don't yet have the ability to reach far enough. They do believe in extrasolar planets. There may be planets out there that are like Earth. And they feel, well, we just don't know enough yet, and they have a lot of faith, and their faith is that science has always been reliable, so in the future, maybe we'll know more than we know now.
Now, implicit, not often explicit, is that, you know, one day when we turn on the TV or you know, pop on the internet, we're going to see irrefutable evidence for life. It's going to be, say, a future Mars probe, and it's going to find something that is irrefutable evidence for maybe past or present life there, more likely past. And that is going to shake the worldview of every religiously minded person and of Christianity in particular, and it will signal the end of man as a religious being. He simply will not be able to fit that into his religious worldview. What's your response to that?
Yeah, I read the article by Damon Linker, and I also have read what Paul Davies has said. Dr. Davies is an eminent cosmologist, and he made the comment in one of his books that if a UFO, an extraterrestrial, landed on the White House lawn, that would falsify the Bible and Christianity. And what I think is interesting here, Todd, is I'm not sure that either Linker or, with all due respect to Davies, who's an eminent scientist and a person I do respect, I'm not sure they have really given a lot of thought to Christian theology, because in the 13th century, Thomas Aquinas was postulating that, you know, what if there are other worlds? And what if there are intelligent people in those worlds? Would they be fallen? And if they were fallen, what would their relationship be to Christ? I mean, this is in the 13th century. Thomas is thinking about and posing ideas. I think the idea that that UFOs or I should say extraterrestrials would falsify, I don't think so at all. I think that, for example, if there are other worlds, if there is a multiverse, I don't think that that is necessarily at odds with Christian theology. Where did the multiverse come from? And if these beings appeared, it may give us even more evidence of the fine-tuning for life and things of those issues. Now, it certainly would raise questions, and we would have a lot of theological evaluations and applications to make. But I don't think any of this would run against. I mean, we know from Scripture that God has at least made the unseen realm of the angels. Has he done more creating that he has not revealed to us? I don't think that that's necessarily outside of an orthodox, historic, Protestant, or biblical point of view.
Let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk more about extraterrestrials and religion. It's Tuesday afternoon, December the 2nd. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Ken Samples is our guest, senior research scholar for Reasons to Believe in Pasadena, California, author of several books, including Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men, A Rational Christian Look at UFOs and Extraterrestrials.
Did did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Christ Jesus, the image of the invisible God. For unto us a child is born. The titles of Christ, Good News of Great Joy, the Magnificat. These are some of the Christ-focused themes offered by Ad Crucem this Christmas. Shop adcrucem.com for greeting cards, gifts, housewares, ornaments, music, and much, much more. Available from adcrucem.com, confessing the faith through word and art. Adcrucem.com, adcrucem.com.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Ernst Heating and Cooling is a third-generation, family-owned company and has been serving the Metro East for decades. Ernst is a Lennox and Geocomfort geothermal dealer and services all makes and models of heating and cooling systems. Now is the time for your heating system checkup. Whether it's service or maintenance for your existing heating or cooling system or a whole new system, you need to call Ernst Heating and Cooling. Call them at 618-633-2244 or ErnstHeating.com. Ernst Heating and Cooling, Hamel, Illinois.
Martin Luther taught that the chief function of music and worship was the proclamation of the Word of God. With Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church, you will hear over two centuries of Lutheran musical theology, beautifully performed and faithfully sung. For a limited time, save 10% on this 4-CD set when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music. Brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about extraterrestrials and religion. Ken Samples is our guest, by the way. You can receive a free copy of Ken Samples' book called Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men, A Rational Christian Look at UFOs and Extraterrestrials. Just do this. Go to reasons.org, click Issues Etc. The logo's right there. Fill out the form and mention that you heard about Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men on Issues Etc., reasons.org, and get this book by Ken Samples, Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men, A Rational Look at UFOs and Extraterrestrials, absolutely free. This free radio offer is good through the 30th of December. Ken, I wonder if we had that scenario of the aliens kind of finally coming down, landing on either, you know, the White House lawn or my lawn, it doesn't really make any difference, but they finally landed and stepped out and engaged us, got into conversation with us. Would it overturn the Christian worldview necessarily? Could Christianity accommodate that event?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I don't think, Todd, that there is necessarily any kind of defeater in this. I don't think the existence of extraterrestrials or some alien beings would necessarily be a defeater. The Bible is a book of about revelation. It's a book about God and our relationship to Him. The Bible at times avoids speculating in areas that maybe the rest of us would like to speculate a little bit about. But again, I think that what we know from Scripture is that God is infinite and eternal. He has unlimited power and wisdom and knowledge. He's the sovereign creator of the universe. The more we discover about the world, the more we realize that it's bigger and more intricate than we ever thought before. If these beings did appear and we were able to communicate with them. And by the way, I think it's true that the likelihood of any of this is extremely remote. I mean, even if there are aliens out there, Todd, the ability for them to travel through space and get to us, I think is virtually impossible. And so I don't know that any of this would ever be something other than, you know, kind of science fiction. But no, I think the Christian doctrine of creation and the Christian doctrine of human beings would in fact be able to accommodate those ideas. Now, again, it would stretch us, it would challenge us, it would do many things. But of course, I would ask, you know, how would naturalism accommodate that? I mean, why don't we see life everywhere? Why isn't why isn't life out there all over the place? And so I think any worldview would have to come to grips and would have to look and examine things maybe afresh of something like that. But I disagree with Linker and with Paul Davies. I don't see this as a defeater of Christian theism or biblical Protestantism, because he seems to think that Catholicism would be okay and some of the cults would be okay, but this would really overthrow a Protestant evangelicalism. I don't think so. I think that Christian theology is much more robust than a lot of people realize.
I sorted out this one. I wonder what you think about it, Ken. I think that this is based purely upon opinion, because I have no evidence for it, just as the evolutionist has no evidence for life apart from the United States. apart from the Earth. I believe that life is abundant in the universe, that it's that life is out there, not intelligent in the image of God life, but the kind of life that we find here in the world. And none of that does anything to overthrow whatsoever the fact that God made it all. In fact, I think it would affirm that God made it all in a way. Besides, isn't it true that the Christians do believe in extraterrestrial life, intelligent beings? We just happen to call them angels.
Absolutely. I mean, there is, as you say, there is the whole realm of the angelic host, and they are a type of aliens. They are a type of different kinds of beings, and I think that were we to encounter, we would realize, again, the hand of God. We would see the intelligence and the beauty of all of that. And as I said before, if you go back to the 13th century, Thomas Aquinas was raising questions. Does historic Christianity indicate that there will be no life except for here on planet Earth? Or is it possible that there could be intelligent life? If there was, would they be fallen? Would Christ have to die for them? Now, Thomas's answer is that maybe God would have another means of redeeming them. Now, I'm a little troubled by that answer, because I think you can draw pretty clear indication that Christ's cross is the way that he redeems people. But again, I think it would be great for some of these secular authors to realize how far back Christian theology has been reflecting about these issues, and that people like St. Augustine and St. Thomas Aquinas and Martin Luther and John Calvin, these were people who were very reflective, and we have benefited from that very robust Christian theological worldview.
Ken Samples is a senior research scholar for Reasons to Believe in Pasadena, California. He's author of several books, including Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men, A Rational Christian Look at UFOs and Extraterrestrials. You can receive this book for free. Just go to reasons.org, click Issues, etc., the logo there. You fill out the form and you mention that you heard about it on Issues, etc. You'll get the book Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men absolutely free. Reasons.org. This special radio offer is good for Issues, etc. listeners through the 30th of December. Ken, thanks for being our guest.
Glad to be with you, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues, etc., we'll have Adrian Dorheinz review the book The Nesting Place. It doesn't have to be perfect to be beautiful. That'll be tomorrow on Issues, etc. You know, Christians do affirm that there's life apart from Earth. In fact, in many ways, our entire view, our entire faith rests on it, that life didn't come from here, that this isn't the only place where life exists. In fact, life is really found elsewhere. Its origin is in God, the Creator, and He created all sorts of life that doesn't participate in the redemption of mankind, but man, in the image of God, is redeemed by Christ alone. I'm Todd Wilken. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilken and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among His people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.
Holy God, holy and most gracious Father.
Listen to chapel services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana at issuesetc.org. Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel, live weekday mornings, 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.